The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwin.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings, programs. This is the Rapids podcast. I'm Connor McGahee, joined by Richard Fleming. Coming up in this week's edition, we'll hear from Pablo Mastroianni and Kevin Doyle while catching up with Chris Cartledge from the club's Development Academy as they approach a key part in their season.
Doyle and Hairston combining. And across the face of goal, Badger! Who's still alive and driven in. And well saved by Bobby Shuttleworth. And Dominic Badger with a gilt-edge opportunity right in front of goal. Lino's ball in. In towards it, Sean! Venegas and back across and in! It's Miguel Ibarra! Just look how much it means! And in predatorial fashion, Minnesota United snatched the lead at TCF Bank Stadium!
The two key moments from last Sunday's 1-0 defeat at Minnesota United FC, the shot off the underside of the crossbar from Dominic Badji. Moments before, Miguel Ibarra converted his first goal in MLS. Richard Fleming, that's now five games without a win. Is it time to panic?
Six games played, as you say, five games without a win. The Rapids have just 4 points in that spell. Let's lay it out. They've been held at home by Minnesota. That was their first point in MLS. They lost their unbeaten home record with defeat in the last 5 minutes to rivals Real Salt Lake, and then afforded Minnesota last weekend their first shutout in MLS. They're also without a win since the opening day, a run of five games, as you say, without success. And this weekend they go to Orlando, a side that is 4-0-0 at home. Now, I know this early form, coupled with the trades of Birch and Cronin, has some fans shaking their heads in disbelief. And it is. It's hugely frustrating and disappointing, and particularly off the back of the success in 2016. I think if this was a Rapid side that had finished mid-table or lower half or hadn't achieved what they had in 2016, maybe a little bit less frustration. I think it would still be there. But in other words, they set the bar very high in 2016. Birch and Cronin aside, that trade aside, this is a team which has arguably been without five starters. And I would challenge any side in Major League Soccer to have half of their first-choice players missing and still be a cohesive unit. That includes both the DPs, Gashi and Tim Howard. Schuberg is a huge loss. Gashi's injury and then illness, I think from that side, that left a big hole in the creative category. You then bring in Boateng. He then goes down in his first start, 8 to 10 weeks. Serna setback, as we've already mentioned. Howard suspended, Jared Watts suspended. And now, going into this weekend,
there's one more.
Courtney Ford is suspended. They're not excuses, but I think a balance to those insisting that the season's lost already. Six games gone, 28 to go. For me, it's not really until the midway point that we usually get a sense of direction. And I'm prepared to wait. To wait and to hope that once the players return, once the adjustment period has been gone through, that results will improve. But it's not time to panic. Six games from the first six games, absolutely, it doesn't look great. But I want to see what this side is capable of when they're at full strength, when they're fully adjusted, when they're a more cohesive unit, and that understanding that is there. And the one thing that we'll hear from the Kevin Doyle interview is that they didn't have these injuries. Jermaine Jones aside, they didn't have as many injuries or absentees.
And long-term injuries.
And long-term in 2016. So if you're able to put out a consistent unit week after week after week, game after game after game, and that understanding is there. So I think I'm prepared to say to sit, to wait, and to look at the next couple of months, but I will say this, please finish your chances.
Yeah.
Put your chances away, chaps.
I mean, inside the 6-yard box for Don Badji.
Yeah,
but it was almost harder to miss than it was to score.
But I think that is one of a number of chances this season in games where the Rapids will look back and say it's either cost them 2 points or it's cost them 3 points or it's cost them. At some stage during the first six games, and obviously the five that they've gone without a win, you go on the road and you can't expect to have 10 chances. And the Rapids are not renowned for creating a hatful of chances as right. it is.
That means you've got to capitalize the ones you get.
And particularly on the road. You are not going to get as many chances on the road. So it is absolutely vital that this is a side that the chances they do create, they are much more clinical. But that's a phrase that I heard after RSL. We're now hearing it again after Minnesota. And it's beginning to tire. It's beginning to wear a little bit. And we can say everything. We can analyse. We can overanalyse. We can try and sit on the fence. We can kind of look at our cup as being half full or half empty. Ultimately, the results on a weekly basis, that's going to be the best indicator. Not the talk, not the chatter, not the post-game analysis, not the, well, I thought we did okay, but the results on the field on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Wednesday or whenever those games are played, that's what's going to be the telling factor. And as I say, I don't think we'll get a real picture until maybe midway through the season.
Well, those comments are a perfect transition to the first of our two interviews. This week is with head coach Pablo Mastroeni. I began by asking if his mood after the game against Minnesota was reflective of his mood of the 2017 season so far as a whole.
It was by far our most comprehensive performance on both sides of the ball. I think it was the first time all year where we actually dominated the midfield. And because of that, I think we had a lot of joy in the wide areas. I thought our production in the wide areas wasn't good enough. You know, I thought we had a lot of crosses, but it wasn't with really any intention. And, you know, I still think that we created the best opportunity in the game to score and came up short there. And so it's a game of chances. It's a game of taking opportunities. And I think we created enough to do something out of that game. And I think the one thing, again, you can't control results, you know, so, you know, you could be as disappointed as you want. But you're looking at it from my perspective is, was the game plan good? Did the guys follow the game plan? Did you put yourself in a position to win the game? And we did. We did all those things. So at the end of the day, that you can't control the rest, whether you can't go out there and kick balls, you can't go out there and, you know, and so I think from the guys, the effort was fantastic and the way they applied themselves was great. And we just got to get sharper on the attacking end. But I think from a front to back perspective on both sides of the ball, it was our most comprehensive game to this point.
And it doesn't get any easier this Saturday at Orlando City. And the hits just keep coming. Courtney Ford now suspended for a game because of that challenge. I heard you talking just a moment ago about it. And the disciplinary committee sort of strikes again. Your thoughts?
Well, it is what it is. Again, can't control what they do. You got to move forward. And again, we have preseason so that everyone understands what the roles and responsibilities are. And, you know, you take it as you go. I mean, you can fight the powers that be, but at the end of the day, you're the only one that suffers. It's important that the guys continue to work hard and believe that they've achieved something. And I think, you know, one thing I've been saying to the guys is you got to get one game better. That's all. One game better every game. And if you do that, you'll find yourself in a good spot at the end of the year. Now, if you're trying to win the championship and you feel desperate and you can't come up for air and you can't find it, well, then you're going to end up at the bottom and you have no chance of coming up. And so I believe we got one game better against Minnesota, and now we have a good test against Orlando City where I feel like the pressure is on them to come out and make the game and continue on their streak. And we're in a position where we'd like to be, which is the underdog, and keep fighting and belief. And so I'm excited about the game at the weekend.
You know, your mantra has been next man up for the most part, but you can only take so much of that. Now, I mean, you've had, four different center back pairings now? I mean, now I think Michael's going to have a different pair with him as well. So, I mean, next man up is the thing, but, I mean, is there too much of that? I mean, can you take any more at this point?
Well, I think, you know, it tests your character, you know, as a group. But, again, I would love to say something different than control what you can. You know, but I think that's the only way to live life. I think it's the only way to operate as a group. You control what you can control and spend all your energy on that. And if you do a good job of that, well, then the things are going to turn out the way you'd like. But if you spend a lot of energy complaining or moaning about having all these different pairings and all this kind of stuff, you're wasting your energy in the wrong department. Yeah. You know, and I'd rather waste my energy in the department of belief and camaraderie and team. And you never know what happens in these situations because everyone needs an opportunity to show what they're capable of. And it's in these moments that you see the next Dylan Serena or, you know, the next Marlon Harrison. And so that's the way I look at it.
We saw what Mo Saeed is capable of in that game on Sunday. I thought he controlled very well. What did you think of his first start as a Colorado Rapids?
Yeah, I think he was really good. You know, I think making that adjustment to a more attacking position in the 10, I think it, you know, freed him up from a lot of defensive responsibilities that would find him deeper in the field. And got him closer to goal and, you know, created some good opportunities, some good looks. He was a great facilitator of the ball from our midfield to the front line. Had a couple shots as well. And so I think he's going to be a great piece for us, a player that obviously we did some extensive research on before bringing him in and felt like he was going to be a great compliment. And I think he showed his class at the weekend, and hopefully we'll continue to build on that.
You know, soccer is back in the state of Florida. This is the second trip you guys will have been there. But obviously, you know, sort of part of your career started in Florida, took a little bit of a hiatus, and now it's back. Orlando City has done a very nice job. They got their own stadium now. One of those clubs in MLS. I mean, your take on, in general, just where the league has come, because you've seen it for a long time now.
Yeah, no, I think it's come a long ways. You know, starting our spring training in the Baltimore Orioles, spring training field that they left behind to greener pastures in a different part of Florida. And so now you see these new facilities in Orlando and the fan support and really just the growth of the game in the country has been phenomenal. And so it's been great to be a part of it and see the growth of it and live it and breathe it. And now, more importantly, to go there and kind of throw a damper on their party at the weekend.
There is Pablo taking a few minutes out of his time to speak with me. Very generous of him, as always. Scoring goals has been a problem for the Rapids in recent seasons. Certainly, there have been times this season when points have been lost because chances have not been taken. So, we thought we'd get the perspective of a striker, which is why Richard spoke to Kevin Doyle, the man who has scored the Rapids' last two goals.
With Kevin, your assessment of the first six games, it's been a bit tough.
Yeah, you know, it's not what we planned or what we wanted, obviously. No one wants that. And again, you know, the last two games, we were 5 minutes away from a very good result at home here. And again, on Saturday, we were in that game. You know, most of it, I don't think it could have gone either way, but I thought we had the better chances before they scored. So if we go 1-0 up, it makes it very difficult for them. But that's the way it goes, and you just have to keep going and make sure we do better this weekend.
It's frustrating for, I imagine, the team as a whole, but for you as a striker, for the team as the offensive side, how frustrating is it that you guys are not finishing those chances?
Yeah, you know, it's the way it is. You either go out and practice and go again, or everyone goes home and doesn't bother coming here the weekend and cries about it. So it's just the way it is. You get some, you win some, you lose some. You know, we haven't created a ton of chances, but the ones we have, the way we play, we need to take those one or two we get. And when we do get them, like we did at home here when we were 1-0 up, not concede two in the last few minutes.
For you, you were here in 2015. I remember a couple of the players there were saying the squad is better than the results have shown. Is that the case with this squad?
You only know that at the end of the season. Not at the end of the season. If you don't get results, you are where you are, and that's the way it is. You know, you're as good as your last few games, and you know, I believe we're better than where we are at the moment, definitely. But again, that's only if we go out and show it and play and win games. So if we don't, we deserve what we get at the end of the year.
How tough has it been? And I know Pablo's kind of mantra has been next man up, and maybe one or two changes, but there's been a lot of changes, and not just changes in personnel, but changes of formation that wasn't there last year. Yeah, consistency.
We got off to such a good start last season. I think it was a 95th minute winner against LA, and it settled everyone down in our first home game of the season. And I think we just happened to not get injuries and had a settled side for a long time. And this season we've had suspensions and injuries and people leave, and you know, hopefully we can settle down now and get people back soon. Everyone who is playing is experienced and should know what they're doing. So, you know, we just need to settle down and get a couple of wins and get our confidence going again.
What do you like in the heat? It's about 94 degrees, I think 33, 34 degrees Celsius this weekend.
I'm a fair-haired Irish guy. You know, again, it's that's the way the conditions. Everyone plays in those sort of conditions in America, and it's something you get used to. And again, your game plan, you base it around it. We won't be going helter-skelter, I would imagine, closing and chasing everything down. You have to adapt to the situation, and you know, you take into account the condition you're playing in, and we'll deal with it.
The pressure on them, four wins at home out of four games played. Everybody's talking about Orlando, a great start for them, but you'd love to be the party spoilers.
Yeah, listen, pressure on all of us, pressure on us. We want to win games, and you know, they're a home team, everyone, you know, they're in good form, so I'll expect them to get a result, but we're under pressure ourselves to get a result. And you know, we finished, you know, apart from the last three or four games, we've been in form for the last year, so just get back to that.
And for you as one of the senior guys in the locker room, what can you impart to the younger players and to the squad as a whole? And I know you're one of the quieter guys, although a senior player, you're a quiet guy, but what can you kind of tell the guys when you're going through a spell like this?
You know, it's football. We have a lot of young guys, you're going to have it all your career. You're going to be asked questions all your career. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And you answer them, you get on with it, you work hard, you come in, you train. It's not all about talking. And, you know, when you're losing, there's sometimes a lot of crap talk. Sometimes you just put your head down and don't moan and just get on with it and win the next game.
So it's Orlando this weekend. We'll have live coverage of the match on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950 starting at the top of the hour at 2 p.m. Match is live on Unimas and on Facebook Live, as well as La Invasora, 87.7 FM. The Phlegm Dog and I will be live from Orlando City Stadium before the first of two home games.
The Colorado Rapids take on Vancouver Whitecaps FC on May 5th at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
Gosh, he's going to have a go, is he? Striking one! Oh!
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with the Rapids with a Coca-Cola fan pack.
Bacci in the area. Oh, yes!
Starting at only $30, you get a ticket to the game, a meal, and a Coke.
Doyle with a chance, and it's through! And a big save from Tim Howard.
Get your tickets now at ColoradoRapids.com.
Yes, Orlando, then Vancouver Whitecaps FC on Cinco de Mayo, and that's the start of a big spell for the Rapids. 8 of the next 11 will be at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, the perfect time to hit some form. It'll be a good time for the Rapids DA to kick into top gear as well. The U-16 sit third in the Central Frontier Division, the last automatic playoff spot. The U-18s are fourth in their division and in the first wildcard berth. Both teams have 5 games remaining, which includes a doubleheader against Lone Star SC over the weekend of May 6th and 7th here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Players from our U-16's DA were recently involved in the Generation Adidas Cup in Frisco, Texas. They were led by coach Chris Cartledge, who sat down with the one and only Richard Fleming.
So, Chris, take us back to Frisco, Texas, and what was it, five games in 7, 8 days, 10 days. What did you guys, and what did you personally, what do you feel that the boys got out of the GA Cup?
There's a number of things. I mean, great event, number one. I mean, I think the team qualifying for the Champions Bracket was a big deal. We see the best teams in the world and the best teams from the MLS. An event that's competitive, where you're playing for a tournament championship. And there's a lot to learn, I think. I think number one, being a 10-day event, the guys are immersed in soccer for 10 days. There's no school, there's no family. It's full on. You know, the guys are competing, they're training on the off days. There's video analysis, there's stats, there's all kinds of tools that we can use to help these guys get better. Then number two, playing international competition, you know, playing Malaga, River Plate, two fantastic teams. And I think those teams provided a little different challenge for our guys, more cerebral games, games where you have to really think, you have to adjust your opponent and think about the game a little different way. It was a great experience. And I think the last piece being a really competitive event where every single game, every guy has to contribute and step up, because it's a lot of minutes in a short space of time where everyone's got to play a part. So great experience.
And for you, what assessment you go into that event, I imagine, with a kind of understanding of where maybe the DA is compared to other sides in MLS. Did this allow you to reassess? Did this allow you to say, okay, that's good, that needs adjusting, that needs improvement? Did you reassess where the club and where the development academy is?
No, I think those teams really give you a benchmark of where you're at, and probably in some ways change our perspective on some of the things we do as far as our curriculum and our player development pieces. And there's certainly things to learn. You know, I think when you look at it and you look at the MLS teams versus the international teams, I think clearly from a physical perspective, I think we're pretty close. You know, I think from a technical side, we're pretty close. And I think sometimes the bigger tactical pieces are in place. I think what you start to see is those players individually are probably a little bit smarter with their decision making and the choices they make with the ball and off the ball. And I think, you know, we're catching up, we're making ground, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
How much of that, and you know, nobody likes to lose 5-0, as this was the case with River Plate, but how much did you see in the players kind of reevaluating maybe their performances and taking that on board? And once the dust has settled on a defeat or on a run of defeats, kind of saying, right, personally taking responsibility for where they need to improve?
No, and I think, you know, when you're playing those teams, there's a challenge psychologically. I mean, there's a little bit of the unknown for our guys. They step on the field and, you know, they watch these teams on TV and there's a fear of, you know, what's coming at us. And I think, particularly against Malaga, we played on the back foot early in the game and gave those guys a lot of respect. But as the game wore on, I think you saw the players realise that they're no different to those guys in a lot of ways and they can compete. But over the course of the event, you know, that those things wear on you and it became a challenge. But I think at the wrap-up meeting at the end of the event, I think it was very clear that guys had a better understanding of where they stood as far as the competition collectively and individually. And there's work to be done. And they're actually genuinely excited about taking the next steps as players.
Now, I know at the time of recording, you've got a game this weekend, Real Colorado. Then you've got five more in terms of Development Academy. Talk us through those. Talk us through where you are. Talk us through the competition coming up and where you would like to see, where you expect to be.
Yeah, so we have six games remaining in the DA League conference games. And currently we sit third in the table, which is a playoff position that will take us into the playoffs. All those games we're going to play will be competitive games, like every game is in the DA. You know, I think the games that stand out to me, we've got a big game away at SKC, you know, a rival of ours, a game we'll be excited to play and sort of make a point of where we stand in relation to those guys. So an exciting period coming up, big games, but I think we're sitting very nicely as far as the table's concerned, and it's now cracking on and getting a few more results.
What did that experience and you know, take the results aside, but what do you feel the players have got out of that will not just make them better players short term but more long term as well?
No, I think playing that event gives you a real perspective of where you stand compared to the best competition in the world. And I think if you're a good player and a top player and a highly motivated player, I think it really gives you the incentive to really buckle down and work in training and listen to the advice that's being given to you by the coaching staff and by the senior players within the club. And really provides a motivation to take the next steps as an athlete.
And what did you see when you looked into the eyes of the U16s, of those young men, at the end of what was a tough tournament, physically and mentally? What did you see, and what did you see that gave you hope?
No, and I think it's interesting to look at individuals and how they react to those challenges. Obviously, I think some guys are extremely competitive and take those games to heart, you know, and really want to get back to training the next day. You know, they're physically tired, they're fatigued, but let's get back to work, coach. We need to go. You know, so we've backed off a little bit the last couple of days, and we're getting back to work. You know, last night, tonight, we're back on the field. And then you've got some guys that probably are a little bit more... are able to step back and put it in perspective, I think are also extremely motivated to go and really excited by the challenge. I think so, as you look at all these guys, I think it really is an experience that very few guys get to see as young players, and something that they'll never forget, I don't think. And something I think that they'll look back on and say, I learned a lot during that 10-day span, and it's really put me in good stead for the future.
And how do you use that experience as a motivator for the next six games?
I think number one, as a staff, it was also a valuable lesson for us. You know, you sit down, you look, and you get a real sense of where you are. So for us, it's sitting back and saying, you know, in terms of what we're doing with our training and our curriculum and our developmental models, what can we adjust? What can we tweak? What can we add to really help these guys compete at that level the next time we get into that event? So that number one for us is basically taking a step back and looking at the big picture. But I think also for the guys, I think when they look at the video and they look at the data that comes out of those events, they can really benchmark their performances and then say, where can I improve? You know, what are the things that I did do well at that level? What are the things that perhaps are areas of need for work where I can basically get back to work individually, collectively in training and in games as they come up?
This weekend's action, the DA teams are at home to Colorado Rush, U-12s at 2:30, U-13s and 16s at 12:30, and U-14s and 18s starting at 10 a.m. Some of those looking for revenge the last time that the two teams met, U-14s in particular, up 3-0 and then lost 4-3 at Colorado Rush about a month ago. Time now for...
More important dates to remember.
To the Cardell Homes Community Spotlight we go, where we tell you of events and initiatives involving the club. Coming up on Wednesday, May 3rd, our first school visit for the Sopresa program presented by Delta Dental of Colorado will be taking place from 10 to 11 a.m. at Cheltenham Elementary in Denver. Did you name that? Cheltenham. Marcella Balboa, Edson, and the Tooth Fairy, not even kidding, will be on hand to teach soccer skills to the kids as well as to educate them on good dental hygiene. And later that day, Zach McMath will head to the King Supers in Castle Rock for an in-store appearance. He'll be signing autographs, taking photos, and perhaps be bagging your groceries. On May 4th, our national partner Advocare will be out at the stadium doing a fantasy clinic from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. featuring Mikael Williams and Michael Azira and 20 local Advocare distributors. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast is brought to you by Luna Sewell Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Luna Sewell Tequila, one sip, and you know. What's this week, Richard?
Well, my beef this week is...
You know what really grinds my gears?
My beef this... I'm going to emphasize that. My beef this week, it's a bit of a spin-off from the interview with Chris Cartledge of our Development Academy and more of a continuation of last week's rant with regard to a minority of silly fellas connected with Sporting Kansas City. You saw, and a number of people saw this, the photo that I posted on Twitter this week at Fleming Sport, and if you get a chance to view it, it's of a simple board erected at the entrance to soccer fields in the UK, and I know that subsequently people have gone back and forth that they are present here in the US. It was on, as I say, my Twitter feed this week. It was a list, and on this board, a polite reminder to parents and spectators attending the youth soccer games. In other words, the referee is human. It's not the World Cup. The kids, they're only kids, and it's just a game.
You're not being scouted today. The pros are not here to sign him to a contract.
Yeah, and right it kind of led me on to the Development Academy and the young players coming through, and then the antics at Sporting Kansas City. And it really does kind of hit home that we, as adults, all have a responsibility, whether that's the players, whether that's coaches, whether that's spectators, whether that's parents, whether that's even commentators. And I think whether that's those operating in the pro ranks or those that are out for recreation at the weekend. Players diving in the pro game, that filters down to the youth level. Hurling abuse at match officials, and I'm sure you'll know that with youth soccer, that also filters down to the youth game from the pro ranks. Spectators foul-mouthing players, coaches remonstrating with assistant referees or in the face of their rivals. What is seen or experienced, whether it's in-stadium experience or seen on the television at the pro level, is also then deemed to be acceptable lower down the ladder. So it spills into the youth system. Coaches who believe that they're the next Antonio Conte, parents who feel their kids are Barcelona bound, and the kids are watching and learning and soaking this up. They get their influence, as we know, as parents, as adults, they get their influence from various sources. So we all need to sometimes stop and make sure that the image that we're portraying from this game that we all love is one that is positive, so the kids can embrace it and then they can enjoy it. Now, whether they play at the college level or the pro level or whatever they do, it depends on how their image of the game is shaped as youngsters. Whether they fall in or fall out of love with the game is so very important. Now, I'll say this. As a parent who's got kids that go to swimming and volleyball and lacrosse and track, soccer is not the only one guilty, where parents and spectators and those connected with the game tend to step outside, because I see it at other events as well. But I think for the purpose of this is soccer. First of all, we want the next generation to fall in love with the sport, the most popular sport in the world. And I think once you have that love, it drives your desire to be part of that sport and to be a better part of that sport and to be as good as you can be. And that's either as a player or a spectator or as a volunteer coach or as a proud parent. So I think this week, it kind of hit home to me from what happened at Children's Mercy Park. And then, you're talking about the development of our young players coming through this system. And it's all connected. We're all connected in this game and we all have a responsibility.
Before we head east to the Sunshine State... Denver. Gorgeous. Reminder that the pair of us are live from Orlando City Stadium, the brand new Orlando City Stadium, this Saturday at 2 o'clock Mountain Time on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950.
It's a strange kickoff time.
Well, it was listed at 1:55
Mountain Time.
Mountain Time at first. And now it's 2:03.
2:03, yes, Mountain precisely.
So we will have the world's shortest pregame show for you from Orlando City Stadium. Altitude Sports Radio AM 950, altitudesports950.com. And if you want to listen digitally, you can download the TuneIn app and just search for Altitude Sports 950 there. You can listen anywhere that there's internet. Live TV coverage on Unimas and Facebook Live will be on hand as well. Fleming and I will be with you pregame also on Facebook Live. The last time the Rapids won east of the Mississippi was August 22nd, 2015, when Dylan Serna scored early at Chicago Fire. But the Rapids will be eager to end Orlando's 100% home record. They're 4-0 so far inside their new venue and halt their run of five games without success. We'll be back next week. Until then, thanks for your company. Thanks for spending and hopefully not wasting a half hour with us. For Richard Fleming, I'm Connor McGahee. As always, thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.